Last week in our study of stewardship, we talked about the marriage relationship as a stewardship responsibility that God has given to us. And we examined the principles that God has given us to effectively manage our stewardship of our marriages. This morning, we extend that stewardship out to our families as a stewardship from God. Here's a pretty good look at what parents go through today. So listen closely to this video. It's called The Parent Wrap.
Don't make me count to one, two, three.
Yeah, it's the parent wrap, y'all. We may spend most of our time chasing toddlers down, but what's the matter, Rock the Hizzle?
I don't even know what you just said.
We used to be cool. Back in the day, back on the block, watching PG-13 movies, staying on the way up the dock. Then we had a couple shorties, and now we're really flossy. Cause now we're being rolling with our own little posse in the minivan. Or in our little wagon, let me throw it to mom. Cause the little one is sad.
I used to bring it up, I used to dress real shoe. Now I access the closet, but it's already been chewed. And then the right, I make this effort up for good. When I'm walking through the mall, trying to wrangle my room. My PB and James will set your room on fire. I can make you mac and cheese blindfolded on a wire. I'm wiping the doo-doo, kissing the booze. Got them eyes in the back of my head. I see a voodoo, using your full name so you know I'm a player. And that's why all my kiddos, they keep saying,
mom, 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 she's the bomb. Fucking all night till the break of dawn. Cooking that cheese so I grow up strong. Got my second seatbelt for crashing at home.
They're going through a time of growth in every part of their lives. The most obvious change is physical. It's amazing how fast they grow from a tiny baby to a toddler to a teen. And when they outgrow their shoes in just a few months, and their pants get too short or before they've even had time to wear a hole in the knee, you know they're growing fast. But everything else about them is growing at a rapid pace too. They're quickly growing intellectually, socially, emotionally, all at the same time. Now as adults, we're past that stage of rapid growth and change, and it's hard to remember sometimes how difficult it was. The older we get, the harder it becomes to remember all that. The resulting frustration can cause us to overreact rather than take the time to deal with our children as a stewardship from God. And it's important not to overreact. We need to be solid enough in our faith and in our actions to be able to help children through the changes that they face. You see, when children are growing up, they face three main problems. Problem number one is that they're immature. They don't have the internal gauges yet to help them understand how immature they really are. Problem number two is they're imperfect. They can't do everything right. And then the third problem is that they're individuals who are trying to express themselves in a societal setting that honors conformity. It's hard to find acceptance if you just want to be yourself. Well, God recognizes all of those problems, and the principles he's established for parents give us a foundation for helping our children deal with those issues. As parents who are stewards of the family relationship, we need to learn to apply these principles. So let's look at them. The first problem is immaturity. It's corrected biblically through the development of the person. And that's achieved through intentional and purposeful training. Look at Deuteronomy 6:6-9. It tells us everyday experiences use as tools to help our children learn what they should do and how they should respond to all the different life experiences that they're going to face. Deuteronomy 6:6-9, it says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." Do you see the sense of urgency, or do you feel that sense of urgency in these verses as the Lord commands that biblical truths are to be taught diligently in every situation? We need to realize one of our primary jobs as parents is to be teachers. We can't pass that off to somebody else. It's a natural responsibility for parents. Our children learn most of their life lessons through us. Our lives, their first school books, parents, our teachers. Now, consider the goal of that teaching. Verses 8 and 9, at the end of this passage, when he says, "They should be bound as signs on the hand and frontlets on the forehead." What he's saying is they're to become an ingrained part of the child's life. Our goal is transformation of our children's lives, a renewal of their minds and their spirits. To overcome immaturity, we have to be teachers who are modeling mature responses before our children in order to develop godly children who consistently choose to live for the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 is another passage, well-known passage, I think, that gives us guidelines for the teaching process. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." The first guideline in this verse is to control experiences. The word train or train up, it comes from a Hebrew word that literally means to make narrow. The Aramaic form of this word gives us the idea of putting something in the mouth to be tasted. So put it all together. To train a child means to let them taste experiences in a controlled way with narrow boundaries, so that they're able to learn correctly from the experience. As they experience the positives and negatives of their training, 1, he says, train up a child in the way. Now, that reminds us that each child is different. It's a word that speaks of the bend of a bow, like a bow and arrow. So make a bow from a stick. You look at the way that the wood naturally bends, and you form the bow in accord with that natural shape. If you try to bend it in the opposite direction, it's eventually going to break. Now, in relation to children, the Lord is telling us that each child has a natural bent that his or her own unique temperament and skills and abilities. And that natural bend gives us the starting point for effective teaching. He says, train up a child in the way he should go. The thought expressed by should go is that God has bent that child in that way for a purpose. Part of our responsibility in training is to help our kids find out what their natural bend is and to help them develop that bend to the glory of God. So the principle of Proverbs 22:6 is, if we train up our children in life with the pre-bent nature and purpose that God has given them, then when they gain maturity, they make life choices for themselves, they'll naturally make them in line with their training. The godly principles taught to them in their youth are going to provide the foundation for the choices that they make later in life. Well, that's maturity. Let's look at the second problem they have, is the imperfection. From a spiritual perspective, that means that the child deviates from accepted normal standards. Now, that's a fancy way to say they sin. And that problem is dealt with by exercising appropriate discipline. The goal of godly discipline is to develop inner conviction that will correct wrong behavior. So Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28 says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. In other words, if there's no boundaries, there's no protection. The aim of biblical discipline is to teach children to control their spirits. And it creates boundaries. It creates protection. We're not looking only to raise godly children. That's important. That's part of the purpose. But we need to realize that's the short-term goal. What we're looking to raise is godly children who are going to grow up to be mature adults. That's the long-term goal of biblical discipline. Several different words are used in Scripture for discipline. One is chastening. Hebrews 12, 10, and 11, depending on your translation, talks about chastening or discipline, but it talks about how it's painful for a short time. It says, for they, meaning earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Discipline, whether it's from God or from parents, it deals with restrictions that nobody likes. It's painful. But if it's performed with the proper goals in mind, it's worth it because it produces righteousness. Another word that's used for discipline is admonition. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says how these things happened to them, the children of Israel, as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. Paul reminded them of what the children of Israel had gone through, just to help them to remember that we should learn from the discipline that others have faced in the past. There's nothing wrong with challenging children to learn from the experiences of others and from their own experiences. The problem of individuality, that's more difficult, simply because each child is different. You know, it solves a lot of problems for parents to deal with their children in the same way, but that doesn't work. Let's go back to Proverbs 22:6. It tells us that God creates each child as an individual. What works with one may not work with another. So as parents, we need to have the flexibility, and we need to have the wisdom to work with each child individually. If we don't, we create frustration and rebellion. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians 6:4. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, the key phrase here is the discipline and instruction of the Lord. See, God doesn't treat each one of us in the same way. The things he does in my life are different from the things he does in your life. As fathers, we're called to treat our children as individuals just as God does, so that we don't provoke an angry and bitter spirit within them. We help our kids to grow by learning to accept them with all their strengths and weaknesses, by encouraging them to do what they can for the Lord according to their own abilities. So don't try to mold your kids into something they can never be. Work to accept them for who they are. That's the unique ministry that we fulfill as parents. So to be good stewards as parents means that we raise our children in such a way they learn to love God. They learn to serve in every part of their lives. Our children are a gift from God. And we have the opportunity to raise them up to be men and women of God. That's our stewardship. Well, let's go on and look at the principles that God has established for children. And actually, there's only two primary stewardship responsibilities for children. Children are responsible to obey their parents and to honor their parents. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, the command is simple. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He doesn't tell you to do it because your parents deserve to be obeyed or because you like to obey. You do it because it's the right thing to do. You don't need any other reason to obey your parents. You do it because you're imperfect and immature and you still have a lot of growing up to do. And because you need the guidance of someone older and wiser, and God has given you parents to fulfill that role. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 20 to 23, Solomon describes the commandments and teachings of parents. He says, "My son, keep your father's commandments, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they'll lead you. When you lie down, they'll watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. The reproofs of discipline are the way of life." So he says those commandments and teachings, they're the lamp, and the light, and the reproof. They're going to keep you on the right path. So children, to be good stewards, you have to obey your parents. It's the right thing to do. Now, the other principle is that of honoring your parents, and that's more difficult because it goes straight to the heart of your attitude. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it's first found in the Ten Commandments. It says, "Honor your father and mother." And it says this is the first commandment with a promise. The reason this is so important for kids is it's a pretty good indicator of how you look at God. If you rebel against your parents, you rebel against God. If you honor your parents, then you're honoring God. Our attitude, you see, our attitude towards God mirrors our attitude. Our attitude towards our parents mirrors our attitude towards God. I get that right. That's why the promise is bound with this commandment. See, if we honor our parents, then we're honoring God. And that puts us in a place where we can be blessed by God. It's really that simple. Kids, if you want God's blessing, you need to learn to honor your parents. We are responsible to our parents for their entire lives to honor them by caring for them. To be good stewards, you must honor your parents. In his lecture series titled Acres of Diamonds, Dr. Russell Conwell tells of a farmer in Pennsylvania way back in the early days who wrote to his cousin in Canada. His cousin owned an oil company. Well, the farmer wanted to change careers and he decided that he wanted to work in oil. But the cousin sent a reply back to him trying to talk the farmer out of making that move because the farmer didn't know anything about the oil business. He wouldn't be able to make a living. But the farmer decided he could study hard and he could learn. So he sold his farm for $833, a pretty good sum back in that day, and he moved to Canada. Well, the new owner of the farm went out one day to investigate the watering place for his cattle, there's a stream running down the hillside where the former owner had put some planks at an angle to keep some scum from getting into the water because the cattle refused to put their noses through the scum to drink the water. So he had diverted it with those planks. Well, the new owner wanted to fix things up more permanently, so he took some of the scum to a lab and he tested it. And what he found was that the farmer who had sold his farm to learn about oil had actually been a rich man, and he never knew it, because the scum turned out to be a flow of coal oil. And the state geologist of Pennsylvania said officially that it was worth $100 million, a huge amount in those days. The new owner went on to develop the site. The city of Titusville now sits on that farm. As parents and children, as families, we need to understand we are rich people. Sometimes we're as ignorant of the riches that God has given to us as that farmer was of the oil on his property. It's important for us to realize our families are a gift from God. He's the one who's given us our family. He's the one who's given us our parents and siblings. He's the one to whom every person in our family belongs. We're allowed to enjoy the relationships for a short time, and in an ultimate sense, they don't belong to us. They belong to God. Our family relationships are a stewardship from God. And the way that we handle those relationships shows what kind of steward we are. So what kind of steward are you of your family? Father, teach us, lead us, help us to be godly stewards in our families, especially as we raise our children. Lord, may they grow up to be men and women of God because of the stewardship that we fulfilled in their lives.